I tell you, I really didn't feel equipped for this job, especially with y'all having such a good teacher as you did in before. But my mind's gone bad. I can't even remember. I remember Brother Joe's name. But you know, I miss him. He was he helped me to grow a lot in the Word of God, and taught me a few things that really kind of opened up the Bible to me. You know, these certain keys in here make this Bible do like a flower, just make it open up, you know. And one of those was being the teaching he did on the mysteries of the gospel. It was really, really helpful to me. And I'm already familiar with the two kingdoms, but it really, when you understand those mysteries, it really makes those kingdoms, that flower of them two kingdoms, just blossom out, you know. Two beautiful flowers right there. If you got your Bibles, turn back to the book of 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy. We're in a war. You say, oh, this is peace, goodwill toward men. Hey, there ain't no peace till the King of Peace comes. It's a war. It's a bloody battle. And it ain't going to get no easier. It's going to get tougher and tougher. Harder and harder. I told Brother Jim, I was praying for him. I know what it's like, you know. Trying to look after, you know, your folks, and spent a year taking care of my wife's daddy, and it was a blessing to me. But I'm gonna tell you, it was tough. It's tough. And boy, and I know, you know, old devil, he'll try to wear you down. I told Brother Jim, I said, it's a good thing to getting old don't happen to young people. I said they wouldn't make it. It takes some. I mean, really, it takes some years and experience. And some, you know what I mean, some toughening up. I was going, getting old and all the things that goes along with it. You need some maturity. You need some long suffering. You need some grit. And it just, something that you learn over time. When the book of 1 Timothy, we're going to start out in chapter 2. And he said, I exhort therefore that I exhort therefore. Well, we better look and see what that's there for before we go to the rest of it. Okay? I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made of all men. Well, he said right here, he said, because of the things that's come before, I'm encouraging you to do certain things. And we're going to look at the certain things he wants us to do. But before we do that, we're going to back up into verse 1. We're going to go over the things that we're there for. The reason why we should do these things that God is commanding us to do. First of all, we found it in verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior. And we looked at how God has commanded us to do some things. God has given us a command. He commanded him to be an apostle. He has a commandment for you.
Yes, sir.
Go to all the world. Teach the gospel. Apostle Paul said, we were debtors to every man. Every man you're going to come in contact with, you owe them something. He said, what do I owe them? You owe them the gospel. Because you could carry it in this earthen vessel. And you have a command of God to go out and get the Word of God out to people because God, and we're going to see it in a minute, God is not willing that any should perish. So that's God's command to us. And He's given us gifts. You say, well, what gifts has God given me? If you don't know, won't you ask Him? You got them. Mm-hmm. And you better start using them. You'll regret it if you don't. Second of all, not only do we have this command, but and looking down here, he said unto Timothy, my own son in the faith. And we looked at how that we are begotten by the faith of God and that people, we should be having children. You say, well, I got one or two kids. No. We're supposed to be having children in the faith. We're supposed to be taking the Word of God out and giving it to people, and people being through the power of the Spirit of God and us being faithful to what God has commanded us to do, we should be having children. Now, you take any church, if not hearing the cry of newborn babes, there's something wrong. Huh? They got a barren womb. Why? Why? You reap, if you're not reaping anything, guess why? That's right, you're not sowing. And if it's very limited, it's because you're sowing little. But the Bible said, if you sow much, I mean, it's just that plain. Hey, don't think that the farmer goes out here, plows up, he can plow that field so good, get that ground worked up all good, but man, he said, well, I tell you what, I don't have a whole lot of money left for seed. I'm going to put a little in. I'm just going to spread it out a little bit. And that's the kind of crop he's going to get then. If you're going to reap bountifully, you got to sow bountifully. And right here he said that Timothy was his own son in the faith. Now that's important. Note those words, in the faith. That's talking about the Word of God. That's the Word of God. This is the faith. Amen. This body of doctrine that we hold here in our hands, that's the faith. In 1984, I saw I was a lost sinner. I wanted Jesus Christ in my life, and I was baptized into the body of Christ, and I received the faith of the Son of God in my heart. And ever since that time, ever since I received the faith of the Son of God, the Holy Spirit of God has been teaching me this word right here. Until I had a spiritual birth, I couldn't understand the Bible. But now, he said, you're my son in the faith. You're following after the Word of God. You're following me as I follow Christ. You're following in the Word of God. Now, look, Rags, I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus. When I was went into Macedonia, thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. See, that's the key. The things he's getting ready to admonish us about in chapter 2 is because that there was other faiths being taught. There was other doctrine being taught. And we're warned about these other doctrines.
Yes, sir.
And we've got to be careful of them. Some of them are so... it's just like rat poison. The majority of rat poison is seed. And for the rat to eat it would help them to grow. You know? It's just good seed. But 2% of it is poison. And that's all it takes. Once he partakes of that, that rat's going to swell up and die. And we're glad for that. Amen? Hey, but we don't want none of God's young and swelling up and dying on us.
Amen.
We don't want them taking in poison that's going to lead them astray. It's going to cause them not to be effective in the work of God. That's why it's so important that we stay with the Bible. I'm talking about the Bible, too. I'm talking about that old blackback King James version of the Word of God. I'm talking about that authorized text. And I'm not coming in here to beat up on these other versions. I really ain't, because there's a lot of people, it's sad to say, that is reading them doing more for God than a lot of people that's King James only.
Amen.
And that's sad, but it's a fact and truth. But there is poison in that stuff. And not only is there poison, but there's also things that are lacking to build us up in strength. NIV, for example, has got 10% of the Word of God is missing in it. 10% has been removed. Well, that wasn't essential stuff. We dropped it out because, you know, no, Jesus said by every word. Neither a jot nor a tittle, the dotting of an I or a crossing of a T shall in no wise pass. It's a preserved Word of God. We either believe that or we don't. It's not the translated Word of God. It's the preserved Word of God. And God brought it into the English language. And we got it. You say, how do I know? Because he told me so. I don't know it because I read, you know, what God hath wrought. I don't know, because I've read some of these other things that try to defend the Word of God. You don't have to defend this Bible. It's a sword. Get sharp on it and wield it. You don't need to try to defend it. God, it's everlasting. It's the Word of God that abideth forever. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible. The Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. It's alive. This doctrine is so important. He said, they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables in endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, which is in the Word of God. You want godly edifying, you're going to get it from the Bible. You're not going to get it from a speaker or a teacher or a preacher. You're going to get it from the Word of God. Do you know that Jesus is able to teach and to preach any man he chooses? If he's got enough humility about him, if he can kick the props of his pride out from under him, God can teach and preach that man. You look over in the book of Romans in the final chapter. He said, it's the preaching of Jesus Christ. It's not the preaching of Brother White that's going to make a difference in the service today. It's got to be the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ as he preaches through him. It's the words of this Bible, this gospel, that's going to make the difference. We need to abide in it. Now, also, it's godly edifying. Look in verse 4, godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. We're not to teach no other doctrine, but it's this faith right here which edifies and builds up the body. Then look at this. The end of the commandment, verse 5, is charity and of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith and fame. Like I said, it's not thou shalt not. It's love. It's love that's going to make the difference. It's not, hey, I'm all for separation, but it ain't what we call biblical separation. If you've got true biblical separation, it's because of the love you have for Jesus Christ. And the love of Christ, it reaches out beyond us. It ain't about us. It's about our neighbors. And it's about our friends. And it's about our family. And it's about our enemies. Jesus said, well, thank have you if you love your friends. He said, love thine enemies. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure conscience, from which some having swerved have turned aside unto vain jangling. Now all these kind of arguments about why, why we're not going after them. Why we're not going after the colors. Why we're not going after the Asians or the Spanish or the whatever. We've got all kinds of reasons. They're not like us. We want our kind. We're going to get ready, and we're getting ready to look. Paul shows us what our kind is in just a few moments. But look at this. Now, we're not going after the homosexuals. We're not going after the wicked sinners. We're not going after the murderers and the liars and the thieves and the men down in the hell holes and the honky-tonks of this world. And that's what Jesus got, that was the biggest thing that they hated about Jesus. Mm-hmm. Because he sat down and eat with publicans and sinners. Yes. And what did he say? He said, it's not the healthy that needs my help, it's the sick, the sin sick. What they didn't realize, he was looking right at them.
Yep.
He said, you're so sin sick, you can't even tell you need me. These people, they want to know about me. They know that they need something from God. You think you've arrived. Mm-hmm. desiring to be teachers of the law. You better watch somebody who wants to lay down the rules for you. They desire to be teachers of the law, not understanding neither what they say, nor whereof they affirm. But we know that the law is good if a man uses it lawfully. Knowing this, this law is not made for the righteous. Did you hear what that said? Don't do no good saying ever. If you got people, and don't get me wrong, you need to hit sin. But the thing of it is, hey, we got people that are saved, righteous in their heart. You don't have to tell them to do right. They want to do right. They're seeking God's will. If they're following after charity, there's no problem in their life. For it's the end of the commandment. So a man is following after charity and liberty. That's the only two laws that have been given to the church. The law of love and liberty. God has made you free from the laws of sin and death. And now what are we to do? We're to carry, using our liberty to reach out to men who are bound by the laws of sin and death.
Yes, sir.
And tell them, he said, look, it doesn't matter what you've done. That's the reason why you can go to the prison, brother, and tell them. He said, yeah, you don't understand. And I killed my family. I'm a murderer. God don't want nothing to do with me. Wrong. God loves you. Jesus Christ took that sin upon himself and died for it. He can deliver you from whatever. But God don't want me. I'm this. I'm a dope addict. I'm a this. Hey, he's going to give a long list of what people are. Desiring to be teachers of the law, they neither understand. Knowing this, that the law is not made for the righteous, but for the lawless and disobedient. And he says, for the unholy, profane, for murderers of fathers, for murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured person, if there be anything that is contrary, notice this, again, to sound doctrine. They're not following after the doctrine. They're trying to live by the law. And all the law can do is condemn them. You know why? For there's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And if you have committed one sin, the Bible says you're guilty of the whole law. If you ever told a lie, you're a murderer. You're a thief. You're a whoremonger. You're all these things that he just said. You're condemned. You're lost. If you're under the law, you are lost. You are going to perish if you are under the law. If there is any other thing that's contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which is committed to my trust. Now look at this. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me. He wasn't able of himself, he was enabled. And we got to be enabled. Without him, we can do nothing. But with him, I can do all things that he wants me to do. Anything, whatever it is. He wants you to move a mountain, he'll give you the faith. You can move that mountain. If he wants you to go down to a nursing home and walk down them halls and talk to the people about their soul, he'll enable you to do that. If he wants you to go into the prisons, he'll give you the strength and the ability to do that. If he wants you to knock on doors, he'll do that. If he wants you to stand out in a mall parking lot somewhere and give out tracts, he'll do it. He is able. You could even have a phone ministry. I like this guy. I never get over this. Episcopalian, Brother Rick. Episcopalian. A saved Episcopalian sat in his house. He made it his duty to give the gospel to at least one person every day and hopefully to have somebody converted every day. And when he got where he couldn't go anymore, he sat down and he got the New York phone directory out and called every number through it every year and shared the gospel with people, trying to win people to Christ. You say, I can't go. Can you dial a phone? You know, people don't like you to call them on the phone. Hey, join the crowd that gets to hate. You know, just go ahead and join in with them. You know, the ones that call you trying to sell you this, that, and that. Then, well, I ain't come to sell you that. I want you to get something free. It's been purchased by God Himself. And it's yours if you'll just receive it. There's no excuse. You are without excuse to take the gospel. Somehow, somewhere, some way. Then he goes on, he says, this is what I was. He enabled me, for he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry that before was a blasphemer, persecutor, injurious. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And God has counted us all in unbelief that he might show mercy unto us all. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. And this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And I just got that marked off and put my name there. Of whom I am chief. Dave Leslie, he's the worst sinner I know. But Paul said, no, I was the worst. And here's why he said, howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me, first, Jesus might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. That's why. That's another reason. Because, hey, another reason we're to look and see what this is there for, because there is no person that you're going to run up against that is too bad, is too wicked, is too sinful. Because he said, I was a perjurous person. He said, I lied on people. He said, I persecuted the church. I consented to them being murdered. But I did it ignorantly in unbelief. I was a lost sinner. I did what my God told me to do. And you know who his God was at that time? Huh? He thought it was the Lord. He thought it was Jehovah. But you know who his God really was? It was Satan. It was the devil. He was of his father, the devil. And he was following him ignorantly and blindly and yet calling it God. Be careful about what you call God. Be careful to what God you listen to. Could be the God of this world if you're not careful. That's the reason why you got to stay in this book. You got to know the doctrine. You got to be careful. There's all kinds of stuff that's infiltrated into the church, and they've done it in the name of God, but God is a million miles from it. Then he says, now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. And this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, which I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. I wrote down right here, through that last speaking right here, obedience to the doctrine. This is what you'll be led to. Giving out the word of faith. Having discernment to understand. Hey, he had discernment about what to do about Hymenaeus and Alexander. He said, I turned them over to the devil. For the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit might be saved. He didn't say that he was with unbelievers, by the way. But you know what? They had left the doctrine. They had left the doctrine. Now they had swerved into vain janglings. They listened to the Judaizers and all the people that wanted to bind them up under the law. And now they were trying to do the same thing. You know why they like that? It gives them power and control. Why the Catholic Church is like it. They got their people all bound up and law. You do what we say, or you got, hey, you listen to the church, or you're going to perish. Hey, I got one Lord, and it ain't the Baptists. It's Jesus Christ, and Him only shall you serve. Now look here, let's get down in the next chapter. Now, Zigas there, exhort therefore that first of all, because that men are sinners, because that they are unclean, because God has commanded us to, because, you know, the faith of God will cause us to have spiritual children, because this is the right doctrine, because it will edify and build up the church, and because it leads to love and compassion and understanding. Amen. And it'll keep us from being bound under the law, and it'll keep other people from getting all tangled up with these Judaizers and these legalizers that'll bind people up so they can't serve God the way they want them to, the way God wants them to. And that's the reason why, therefore, we need to do what? So we can keep this from happening to people, we are to pray and make supplications and prayers and intercessions and giving of thanks, and that it be made for all men. You know, some people ain't thankful. You know what the Bible says we're to do for people that are not thankful to God? Give thanks for them. First, I give thanks that I have an opportunity to minister to them. And then because they haven't thanked God for what God has done for them, we thank God for what God has done for them. We thank them Friday, every year, he's going to call on me to pray, and that's one of the first things I do. I thank God for supplying jobs for all of us, and I thank God for the men that I work for. And I thank Him for supplying our needs through the years. Whether they're thanking God or not, what am I doing? I'm putting a bug in their ear that they are to be thankful. And at the close, that's what I kept hearing my boss man say to him, that we ought to be thankful for all that God. It was hard to get come out of his mouth, but he said it a couple times, for all that God has done for us. But give thanks for all men. Make prayers for all men. For kings and for all that are in authority. Did that include the Clintons? Did that include the Obamas? Did that include all the other crowd that we know is contrary to the Word of God? Yes, the Bible says make prayers and intercessions for them and give thanks. God is... And we know that all things work together. No, we don't know, but we need to learn that. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and are the called according to His purpose. When it seems like everything is going the wrong way, what is it that I hear Brother Melvin say all the time? God's in control. He's got the plan. I hear things like about Brother Sizemore, and I'm like, God is in control. He's got the plan. Sometimes you take a man who's doing a good work, and sometimes God's going to move him out of this place for whatever reason. I do not know. I can't explain it. But God's in control. He knows the plan. He knows how it's going to finish out. Could be it's just time to roll it up. You know? Might be that the light is going to be... shut out. For this dispensation of grace... God taking them out of the way. That's going to happen. Something for us to think about. what we're going to do.
I tried to talk to my
boss this week. I said, I got some things I want to do. I don't know how much time I got. And I really want to go work in part-time, have all my afternoons off. I got some things I'd like to do. I'd like to beat on a few more doors, have more opportunity to go out and give out the gospel before it's too late, or I don't have an opportunity. He said he's going to work with me on that. Pray about that, and I appreciate it. He says right here then, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. In other words, you want to do something that's good in the sight of God your Savior? Pray. Make supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks for all men. Who will have all men to be saved. The reason why we're to look back to what God said therefore is because this is God's will. That all men might be saved. Every door you men knock on, remember, it's God's will that that person be saved. Might not be their will, but it's God's will. So if they don't get saved, and I've told people this many a time, I said, you know, God has commanded everywhere that every man repent and believe the gospel and be saved. God's commanded you to be saved. Well, I'm just not ready, they may say. I just don't believe that. I'm not interested in that. Well, don't change God's will. God's will is you be saved. His son died for you. I had a fellow told me, he said, I don't want nobody to die for me. I said, it's too late. He's done it. He said, I don't have nothing. I don't want nobody dying for me. I said, well, he already did it because he loves you. And I said, you have no other hope. He got real quiet. He didn't get saved. Made him mad knowing that what Christ had done for him. I don't want that. You know what? He didn't want to have to stand before God with us, what it was. Because he wanted to do what he wants to do. We should always consider these things when we're dealing with people. What God, this is God's will. That all men to be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. And notice that word, the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other truth than Jesus Christ. Well, we got science. Jesus is the truth about science. He created all things. Everything that exists that men study and call science is Christ. He is all in all and in you all. The truth. For there is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. One. Not many ways. It's one way. It's so narrow. I'll tell you what. It's so narrow. I've heard people talk about it, say, you kind of narrow-minded, ain't you? I say, yeah, I'm so narrow-minded, a mosquito can land on my nose and black both eyes on the fly men. I say, how narrow I am. I said, there ain't but one way. There ain't but one way. I said, I'm glad you think I'm narrow because this, the Bible says the road that leadeth into life is narrow and few there be that find it. I said, matter of fact, unless Christ comes to you, you ain't glorified. I said, and he come to you today. Now you're going to make a decision. Hey, you men want to know what preaching is? You give a man the gospel He's got to make a decision. That's what preaching is. Preaching demands an answer. And every man's going to stand before God and give an answer one day. What you going to do with Jesus? What did you do with Jesus? Did you receive him? Tomorrow, day after tomorrow, all the little kiddies going to come running out of their rooms, going under, crawling around under a tree looking for their name on stuff. They're going to pick it up and say, I don't want that, right? Heck no, they're going to be carrying in that thing, man. When they get everything out, they're going to take the boxes and go play with them.
That's right.
Pile the toys up in the corner and go play with the boxes. No. What did you do with that gift that I gave you? On that day appointed, God's going to say, look in the Lamb's book of life. Well, I'm turning the page. It says leper. Look at the book of life. Hey, look. I see a place that's been blotted out in here. They even got blotted out. They didn't receive the gift. It never got wrote down in the other. God demands a balanced ledger. The gift was given if you didn't receive it. Who will have all men to be saved? Who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time? See, everybody's going to confess one day. Yes. Yes, he's Christ. Yes. He gave his life for me. Yes. I reject him. God, won't you have mercy? I did. You rejected it. God, won't you now be gracious that I was? You rejected it. You counted the blood of my son as an unclean thing. Wherefore I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not. A teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. That word verity has to do with truth. Is verity is a special truth. That's God's truth. It's not this world's truth. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands. Again, there's I will. Paul said, because this is God's will, now this is my will. What's your will about mankind? This is Paul's will about mankind. I will therefore that men lift up holy hands everywhere praying for all men that they might be saved. In like manner also women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety. Not with broidered hair, gold or pearls or costly array, but that which becometh women professing godliness with good works. And I'm not going to be able to get into this today, but we're getting ready to look and see right there. There's a pattern right here that needs to be looked at. The Bible said that women are to be in silence in the church. They're not to teach doctrine. Now, does that mean that women are not to teach? No, because we know that the Bible says they're to teach. And we also know that there were women that were prophetesses, and they were prophetesses of God. they told a thing if that was going to come forth. So what is he talking about right there? He's talking about the giving out of doctrine. Women, he said, let me read through this, and I'm not going to really get to teach on this, because I'm going to tell you something, but this is a kind of a tangled weave, tangled web if you ain't careful. You're going to have to run some rabbit trails and try to pull all this in together, but it's important, because it all has to do with Babylon, that false, you know, that whore, that great whore that set upon the dragon. Find it over in the book of Revelation. And you find it over in Revelations, and I think it's in chapter 3, where it talks about that Jezebel who calleth herself a prophetess, who teacheth. She was leading them into false teaching. Any woman that teaches in this church as a Sunday school, teaching the young children and the women, are under the man, is under the pastor, under the husband. And they are to, notice it says right here, let me just read what it says. Who becometh women professing godliness with good works, let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man. There's the key. But to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And you got to look back at Adam and Eve. Adam was not deceived. But the woman being deceived was in the transgression. You look over in Corinthians and you'll find out that the woman, for this cause, ought a woman to have power on her head, nor she to be subject to the man. The man hath power over the woman. She hath power because of the angel. Why? Because Lucifer came to her and deceived her. How many of you men out there, you've been on visitation, and you'll find women quickly to agree when giving them the gospel? They're quick to agree. Never forget, right after I first got saved, my wife was already saved when Jehovah's Witness came by and talked to my wife. They left her a number. They want to come by and start a Bible study. You know what I mean? I said, I gave them a call. I called them up. I said, look, I don't want you coming back here no more. I'm trying to put this mess in my... She said, well, we sat down and talked. I said, yeah, come on by here. We'll talk. I knew it was wrong. My wife didn't really understand. I had to sit down and show her why it was wrong. For this cause ought a woman have power on her head because of the angels. Not God's angels. Satan's angels. The devil's angels. You mean angels, they're devils. They're his messengers. That's all that angel means. There's messenger. He's got bad doctrine. That's what we're looking at. Bad doctrine. False doctrine. False teaching. Got to stick with the book. Got to rightly divide the word of truth. We got to study. It ain't enough just to read. You got to study to show thyself approved unto God. You got to study. You got to dig and pray and ask God to lead you and keep your mind. For Satan's going to war against you. Well, we saw that there's some men who had swerved. What percent do you say preachers have swerved that you know over the last year?
Just give me.
I mean, it ain't got to be pure and perfect. 2%.
Hey, Marlene.
That's not too many people. 2%. Preachers are swaying. They one time stood for one thing, now they changed their mind. If we change our mind, it better be because this book changed our mind. Stick with the book. Study. And it goes on, it says, "For I suffer not a woman to teach, nor usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Christ, Adam was first formed. Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if she continue in faith and charity and holiness." I'm about out of time, but I want you to take and keep this on your mind in your back burner, and you might go over and look over this at Luke 16:2 and Matthew 16:6. Take your Bibles and turn over to Luke 16. Turn over to Luke 16. Look at 21. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, I messed up. Wrote it down wrong. Oh, come on, Dave. Oh, I know. I'm sorry, it's Luke 13. I did write it down wrong. I remember now, it's Luke 13, verses 21. "And again he said, whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of God? It is like leaven, which a woman took, and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened." You know what leaven is in the Word of God? It's corruption. It's corruption. Heard a fellow say, told one time, that that's the only place found in the Bible where it is not corruption. Through the Bible, J. Vernon McGee said, you've already been leavened, if you think that. Your mind has already been leavened. Now take your Bible, turn to Matthew 16. That's the reason why a woman is not to teach. Because that's what the kingdom of heaven is like. And buddy, we're seeing it all over the place now. Matthew 16, look in verse 6. He says, "Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." And they reasoned among themselves, saying, "It is because we have taken no bread." Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, "O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? Do ye not yet understand and remember the 5 loaves and the 5,000, and how many baskets you took up? Either the 7 loaves of the 4,000, how many baskets you took up? How if you do not understand, I spake it not of you concerning bread, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And then understand they how he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." Law. Legalism. What did the Pharisees and the Sadducees, what was it they taught the people? It was law. What are we dealing with in the first chapter? People who were coming in teaching the law. Putting them under the law. And now we find this this woman usurping authority and corrupted doctrine. You remember?
Eve, she listened to the devil, went out there, picked her out the shiniest piece of fruit she could fucking have, looked so good here, and she pointed out. She said, God said, don't eat it, and neither shall you touch it. He might have said that, but it's not found in the Bible. She never said nothing about that. She said, that's right here.
His place.
Well, they're not working anyway.